was a very interesting article in the newspaper. Now, I'm not talking about the one on the front page yesterday about the preacher who preaches hot sermons. But it was a couple of weeks ago. It was about what are called paranormal investigators. Anybody see that article? What they do is they use all kinds of scientific equipment to go in if there's a claim that a ghost exists in a house or a building, and they listen. I thought it was an interesting article, and then I got a call a couple of days ago saying, we found one, and could you come and do a blessing on the house? So I'm adding to my job description now, Ghostbuster. In the gospel today, we hear how the disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost. It's a very funny story in a way, if you think about it. The disciples were talking about how Jesus had just appeared to two of them on the road to Emmaus. They were telling their story. And just while they're telling the story of how Jesus appeared to them, Jesus appears to them. And do you think they recognize him? No, they're all flustered. Who is this? It's a ghost. It reminds me of the story of the man who was in a play, and he had just one line. Hark, I hear a cannon. And he practiced it for weeks and weeks. Hark, I hear a cannon. Hark, I hear a cannon. The opening night came, the curtain went up, the cannon goes off, boom, the man jumps, says, what the heck was that? The disciples were sharing all about how Jesus appeared, and when he appears, they said, what the heck is this? Jesus proved to them, though, that he was not a ghost. He said, touch my body, it's real. See my hands and my feet. And then he shared a real meal with them. He ate real food right in front of them. In the early centuries of the church, there was a heresy that the church had to deal with. It got pretty strong in some areas. It's called Gnosticism. And one of the teachings of Gnosticism was that all matter is evil. All creation is evil. Even the God that created the cosmos was evil. And so Jesus had no real matter. He didn't really have flesh and blood. He was a total spirit just pretending to be human. In fact, they even taught that when Jesus walked, he didn't leave any footprints. Well, we all know that Jesus leaves footprints, especially when he carries us. Even though the disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, in a way practicing their lines, they still never quite got it, did they? It took something like the blast of the resurrection to get their attention. That finally the curtain that was covering their eyes went up, and they could really begin to understand what Jesus had been teaching them. The Messiah must suffer. They kept holding out against that, thinking that, oh, the Messiah is going to be a political, military leader. But all of a sudden they realized, oh, that's why he rode a donkey into Jerusalem and not a white steed. The Messiah would suffer and die, but rise on the third day. Ah, that's what he meant when he said, I will give you the sign of Jonah. Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. Jesus, 3 days in the tomb. That's what he meant when he said, I will destroy this temple in 3 days and rebuild it. Aha. And the final part of Jesus' teaching in this one appearance that we heard this morning, in a way, is probably the most important part of Jesus' teaching that they finally got. That repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations. And then today's gospel ends with the line, you are witnesses of these things. Witness here means more than just someone who observes. Witness means someone who acts. Someone who steps out in faith and lives his or her faith, witnesses their faith sort of like John did before Mass. He witnessed to something that was important to his faith. By witnessing our faith, others then can see it. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, that's a little different. Usually throughout the liturgical year, the first reading is always from the Old Testament. But during the Sundays of the Easter season, the first reading always comes from the Acts of the Apostles. That's the New Testament book that follows immediately after the four Gospels. And in the four Gospels, we hear the accounts of people who witnessed what Jesus did, and they wrote about Jesus' life. But in the fifth book, in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear more and more about what the apostles and the disciples did, how they lived out Jesus' teaching. Today's reading focuses on Peter and how Peter is acting out his faith by preaching to the people. One line that he preaches is, "The author of life you put to death." This is from Peter, who was so afraid to witness to his faith that he lied on that first Holy Thursday to protect his own life. Peter here continues in the Acts, "But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." Peter is no longer in the witness protection program. He is stepping out and sharing his faith. And then Peter teaches the important teaching that knowing about Jesus is not just head knowledge, understanding, but it requires a response, an action. Peter said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." At the Easter Vigil, we had over 40 people come into full communion with the Catholic Church. Over 20 of them who hadn't already been baptized were baptized right here. We had a whole pool right here, and we put them into the waters of baptism, and they were washed clean. And then the whole assembly, we all renewed our own baptismal promises, and we were all then sprinkled with the holy water. That reminded us that even though baptism is only celebrated once in our lives, repentance is ongoing, and God's forgiveness is also ongoing. There's a story about how missionaries went out to a remote area in Africa as they sought to live out Jesus' words, to take the gospel to all nations. And they tried to share the good news with the natives, but they were having none of it. They were unsuccessful for years. And finally, they came up with a new idea. They said, "Well, let's translate the gospel into the people's own language." And as they tried to do that, they ran into a wall because they could not find a word for forgiveness in their language. And that became the point where the people came to Christ. Because when they realized what forgiveness meant, it wasn't part of their culture. They had no concept that you didn't just have to avenge a wrong, that whole cycle of vengeance and revenge keeps going on like the Hatfield and McCoys. They were so impressed and taken by that word and the reality of forgiveness that the whole tribe converted to Christianity. A couple of weeks ago, there was a sectarian murders in Northern Ireland. And someone who knows that I have many relatives in Northern Ireland asked me if I thought the troubles were going to start back up. And I assured that person, no, absolutely not. That the people in the north of Ireland, the vast majority, will never go back. They have experienced peace, and they have been working diligently on forgiveness and reconciliation, that they will never go back to the days of vengeance and revenge. Former Senator George Mitchell was the mediator for what has come to be called the Good Friday Peace Agreement in Ireland. He's recently been sent to be a mediator for a peace agreement, hopefully in the Middle East. Wouldn't that be wonderful if what Jesus said in this gospel today came to be? Forgiveness would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Would that Jerusalem and the whole Middle East and the Holy Land would be at peace, as a sign to the rest of the world of how people can come together. Pope Benedict will be going to the Holy Land next month also bringing a message of peace and reconciliation. God continues to send his mediators of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation into our world. But we always remember what John reminded us in his letter this morning. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Today, many people say that they know Christ, as the gospel has been preached to all nations. But John continues in his letter, and he says, the way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments, to do acts of the disciples. Because by seeing faith in action, then we know that our Lord is not a ghost. The gospel is not a fairy tale. Pope Benedict, on Easter morning, in the message that he spoke from the balcony there in St. Peter's Square, said this: the resurrection then is not a theory, but a historical reality revealed by the man Jesus Christ. It is neither a myth nor a dream. It is not a vision or a utopia. It is not a fairy tale, but it is a singular and unrepeatable event. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Mary, who at dusk on Friday was taken down from the cross and buried, has victoriously left the tomb. This Jesus is still really present with us, especially when we gather around this table at Eucharist. And this Jesus can be really present in our life if we live our faith, if we witness what we believe, if we keep his commandments. And then we will know that this Jesus is real, is not a ghost.